All right, we're going to pick up where we left off because I'm not sure where else. All right, committee reports. Capital Plan Review Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
So I finally make the top of the committee agenda, and then I don't have a report other than to say we meet tomorrow afternoon at 3:30, and we will be talking about some of the scenarios for the 20-year capital plan. And we'll have the architects in on the human services annex and the courthouse relocation so we can be talking with them.
Very good. Looking forward to that. Any questions for Mike? Thank you very much. Government Operations Committee, Dooley Kiefer, Chair.
Thank you. Government Operations met last Friday. Much of our work is reflected on the agenda this month. Some will be at the next meeting. We heard from Greg Potter of Information Technology Services about the importance of establishing an up-to-date email archiving system with the idea of capturing every incoming and outgoing email. This is part of a larger project to deal with information flow and communications equipment, use policies, but this really needs to be done as soon as possible. And so this was just bringing us up to speed on that, and we should all expect a request for some money from the contingent fund to allow this to go forward in the reasonably near future. Another report we heard was from the finance director, but he shared that with you tonight about the annual report on property foreclosures. We share his concern about the number of them that are owner-occupied. And the third thing that's not on tonight's agenda, but was certainly in the newspaper and the radio station today, was our discussion about how to handle the Redistricting Commission's report. The Commission met its target date of having a report to us by March 1st. They reported on February 22nd. But because the City Committee that was working on redistricting had not completed its work, at our last GO meeting in April, we asked our County Commission to convene again after the City Committee made its recommendations, which we knew were going to be on April 19th. And Hank DeLay called the County Redistricting Commission to a special meeting the very next day on April 20th, and they revised their recommendations to us so that the lines within the city for our four districts within the city would coincide with the city's new four lines for their wards within the city. And so their recommendation, which has now gone to all legislators, was up for action at our GO committee meeting. Because I had heard from our ITS director how burdensome it would be to have to come up with the detailed language describing the boundaries for a local law to change us to a 14-member district, I was inspired to suggest that instead of our directing him to craft a local law to do just that and then taking it to the legislature where it may get redone and then he would have to craft the new local law, it probably was prudent for us to take a different tack and this time to pass a resolution making it clear that we endorse the 14-member district recommendation of our redistricting commission, but to recommend that the legislature do the same and the legislature direct the drafting of a local law with the 14 districts reflected. And so that's the resolution that came out of committee, but it's not on tonight's agenda because Kathy Covert, who likes to run a clear, transparent job of setting agendas tries very hard to only include on the agenda those resolutions for which she already has the correct language. And if something is time-sensitive, for example, if it's going to be dealt with at the state legislature in its waning days of its session, we would probably act on it at this next legislative meeting. But in the case of the redistricting commission, it's not time-sensitive. We have time to act on it at the next legislative meeting. So that's the meeting at which this resolution that we dealt with will come forward. So that's a lengthy report on the committee meeting. And if you have questions, this is the time. If not, we'll move on to resolutions.
Just so to be clear, Dula, just to describe to people the resolution that did pass the committee, endorse or approve the recommendation of the redistricting commission?
Yes.
Okay. Mike?
First of all, Dooley, did you want to mention the map?
I faced the wrong way. Mike Lane very sensibly had the new map put up on the wall, but it's behind me. He reminded me about it, and I forgot that it's there. So please take a look at it, and the cameraman can probably zoom in and show it for anyone who hasn't seen it yet. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, that's scenario C, version 5, 14C, version 5. The other thing I could just mention that the procedure that we went forward with here with the resolution was not in compliance with the memorandum that we had adopted early on, which said that what we should be doing is sending the local law directly to the legislature. So I certainly supported the resolution because I wanted to do something to move this along, and I think some of the others on the committee did. But I think we really need to have this local law looked at. I'm just hoping that something can be done between now and our next meeting.
Kathy, the map is, these maps are online, right? Is 14C on the county's website, version 5 on the county's website? That's the one?
I believe it is.
Okay. Thank you. Kathy Luce?
Thank you. While I admire the fact that we are among, the only county in the state that brought together a truly independent redistricting commission, and that the process was transparent, as a city resident and as a legislator representing the city, I think it's unfortunate that the both groups saw fit based on, I think, numbers that may not be altogether as hard and fast or reliable as we can see from the unemployment numbers. The government does make mistakes, and as we know from our own past history, and erring on the side of caution towards city residents, eliminating a city ward is, I think, going to have long-term bad repercussions for our county and for our community. I haven't been in support of that, although I understand that very esteemed members of the community worked long and hard on it, and I don't fault them in any way. This is the reason you have to have an independent commission, because those of us that have a vision and a political view look at this and think about the possibility of urban residents in the city area being disenfranchised over the next decade, because surely the growth is there. And with the efforts that the current mayor and others, and including our own comprehensive plan, have in mind for this urban area, I believe that our residents in the city are going to be underserved by reducing representation for county legislators in the city to only 4, and by reducing the city wards to only 4. So I'm saddened by that, but I understand that the process that was involved came to a decision. I don't have any rancor toward individual members or individual committees, but I do think that for the city residents, it's an unfortunate result, and depending on how it ends up looking and what the law ends up looking like, you might find my vote against it, not because of process and not because of any unhappiness with individual decisions, but because on the whole, I believe that it's a bad decision for the city.
Frank?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mike, I really think you ought to pass our thanks on to the independent commission that did the review, regardless of whether we're in favor of the decision or not. I think Hank really did a fine job, and the folks that served did a fine job. To address one or two of the items that Kathy Luce just raised, the numbers of, and the districts, the proposal is based on the census as it was done. With all due respect to what the city or our density plan or the city's density plan has planned or anticipates doing over the next 3, 4, 10 years is fodder for the next census. Not for the, we have to base our decision on what has already been done. And with all due respect, and I can certainly understand what the concern is, it really does not disenfranchise the individuals. It allocates based on the population as we know it, who will represent or how many representatives will represent X number of people. I know it's difficult under the circumstances, and there were a lot of scenarios. Mike, maybe you could remind us, there were so many scenarios that were reviewed, and it did take some time. But while I disagree slightly with Kathy's assessment, I can understand the concern. But I'd like to at least convey the thanks of this legislator to the independent commission for the work that they did and the meetings that you had out in the field, because some of them were attended by some of us.
Well, I think the commission did what we asked them to do, and certainly I'm sure Dooley will want to pass this on to the head of the commission and the members of the commission.
Carolyn Dooley.
My thanks go to the commission as well. The committee had a lot of factors to have to deal with. Redistricting is never easy. I also feel that under the plan that is being recommended, city residents suffer to an unnecessary degree. The fact of the matter is that our numbers in the city and the county would lead us to four and approximately a half a legislator in order to make representation equitable across the county and the city for city residents. And you can't have a half a person. The numbers of people that each city legislator who represents a city district will end up representing are changing dramatically under this plan. So our residents are being, their voice is being weakened under this plan. In fact, we already have a legislature that sees the city as needing to be self-sufficient and that doesn't always give as much consideration as I think we ought to give to the needs of the city. And we have a city that, because of the geography here, in addition to all the usual factors one has with representation, we have a geography that necessitates more use of our city by our county, whether it be city streets. We funnel a lot through the city because of the lake, the existence of the lake and the hills. The city is asked to already carry a fairly big burden. And I think that I understand that the town of Ithaca did not want to continue to have four or five people with sliver districts on the city side, but it would have been possible, I think, and we should have encouraged the commission, and I would still encourage us to consider a set of districts that maybe goes to only one or two of us who represent city districts carrying over into the town. If it were just one, we could deal with that, and the numbers would be more equitable across those lines. And I don't think that we have a system this way. I'll have to look at the numbers again, final version, but I'm not sure that I can support this the way that it looks now.
Dooley and then Peter.
Well, I wasn't sure whether this would lead to discussion at this meeting tonight. It obviously has. That's what was happening at the GO committee. There were other legislators in attendance who had concerns about 14-member district, and that's one of the reasons that it seemed prudent to me to recommend that this discussion be moved on to the legislative level so that everyone can chime in. There was language in the charge to the commission. The initial language says the task of the Tompkins County Redistricting Commission shall be to draft and recommend to the Tompkins County Legislature a fair and nonpartisan plan of reapportionment. So in the spirit of that opening sentence, it seems reasonable to me that we continue this discussion at the next legislative meeting. It was begun at GO, and it really belongs at the legislative level. It may be a long meeting, Martha, I don't know, but I think that we need to do this. So I hope that will be acceptable to the rest of you, that we move this resolution at our next meeting to take the discussion to the legislative level rather than our directing Greg to draft the full local law language that would reflect that map up on the wall.
Well, that was the committee's decision, and it certainly, you know, it'll be in front of us next time. I would ask that we get in our packets copies of the maps also.
Thank you.
So,
can we get big copies?
How many maps are you talking about?
They can't see so small.
Well,
the recommended map, there's one. And that's
one.
It.
That's hard copies of the recommended map. The county website has all of them. Right?
I think so.
Yeah. So people can go to the county website to look at any of the other options that have been considered. I guess can each map be printed on a separate 11 by 17 as opposed to putting the two on 11 by 17? Let's figure that out. See if we can make sure it's clear enough.
I wanted to say one other thing. The chair of the commission, Hank DeLay, would have been here tonight had he not had a conflict. He's a poll worker at the school election, so he couldn't come tonight.
Thank you, DeLay. Peter?
Yeah, just very briefly, I didn't think we were going to talk about this, but I do want to correct something that Carol said. Carol said that the population of the city is such that they deserve 4.5 members. They deserve actually a little bit less than 4.5 members of a 15-member legislature. With a 14-member legislature, the city has almost exactly 4 members that is commensurate with their population. So it isn't that they should have 4.5. With a 14-member legislature, they should have almost exactly 4.
Anyone else? I think this has been fine because I think it's a complicated and important decision. I think discussing it more than once is not the end of the world, and I think this is kind of getting the first round of reactions to the number out on the table on June 5th is our next meeting. People will certainly have time to really focus on this by then. Okay. Anything else on that? Was that the end of your report, Dilly? Are you
Martha, is that meaning that then we should expect to have a discussion on this issue at our next meeting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because what came
out
of GO will come to us
June
5th.
Thank you.
Okay. And that, if you want to know what that says, that's online in the GO packet. Was that the final language that was passed?
I think
or
so.
Okay. All right. Dooley, you
have another resolution.
F, right.
Yes. Resolution urging New York State to develop a blend of revenue streams and other taxation of natural gas extraction and to establish an accurate, transparent, and verifiable method of measuring and reporting shale gas production. And we pass that at... And I move it, yes.
Okay.
And Carol is the local expert on this.
Seconded by Carol. And this is the revised...
The one that went out in your packet had a dollar sign and four X's because we did not have a precise figure for what it has cost the county already. And we still don't have a precise figure, so there is a revised resolution that tries to describe in words the pain of the hours and money that was given to this. And so it's the revised one I'm moving. And if Carol would like to speak about this, that would be great.
The committee, the assessment committee, spent a long time trying to estimate how much this would be. Here, with you friends, I would estimate this to be in excess of $150,000, but that's staff time. It includes a lot of things, and I don't want the discussion later to be about did we get the right number or not. If you pick a number and somebody challenges it, it calls into question the rest of the resolution, and I just didn't want to go there. So a substantial amount of financial and staffing resources, I thought, would suffice.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Kathy, then Frank.
So I'm just trying to figure out a way to summarize this, and help me out. It sounds like this is a way of trying to say that the governor and the state legislature should come up with a blend of revenue streams, because right now all we have is the ad valorem tax, to be able to help municipalities recover the costs of high volume horizontal hydraulic fracturing.
Yes?
Okay.
And what we didn't hear from Jay tonight, who has sat through this whole meeting so far. I know Jay's comments are worth listening to also. He worked with Carol, I believe, on parts of this. I hadn't realized how the state has not revisited these laws. Jay, would you like to say anything, please?
State, I think, in 1978 created a formula to value the actual production coming out of wells, and they haven't revised it significantly since then. So that's why this resolution calls for an open and transparent process to review this unit of production value. To value a producing gas well is probably one of the easiest jobs I would do. I simply get the unit of production value from the state, take the production from the well that's self-reported, and I'm sure everybody here would like to self-report your assessment to me. So that's why this resolution also calls for monitoring or metering that production figure. Another thing is the discount rate, the base discount rate, is set by law at 17.5%. Anytime you set something by law and it doesn't change according to market factors, I think that's wrong. And, this was set back in the 70s, and interest rates were significantly different back then, or so I heard. Some of you people have been around a little longer than that, may be able to attest to it.
Thank you. I would ask that Jay's remarks be in the minutes.
That'd be good. Great. And Frank, you had your hand up.
Yes, thanks, Martha. Jay, do you mind if I ask him a question directly? Jay, this resolution speaks principally to an ad valorem tax. Based on what you understand, who will be impacted by an ad valorem tax? Will it be the gas... The owner of the gas as it comes out of the well, which is the company, or will it be the property owner? And if it's the gas company, will they somehow reduce the value that the landowner should receive in order to cover the property tax?
The owner of the well would be the person who would be subject to this unit of production value ad valorem tax. Royalties is an allowable expense in the formula for the unit of production value. So, you know, when you're looking at utilities, if they're paying property tax, you know, ultimately that's transferred down to the end user of whatever taxes they would have to pay. So indirectly, probably yes.
Thank you.
Cal?
Yeah, to quickly summarize, there are issues with the current system in measuring an oversight, sort of who reads it, in the formula itself, and whether it correctly adjusts for this new kind of drilling, in the fact that it doesn't allow collection of any revenue across municipalities or counties. So if drilling never happens here but happens in an adjacent county and we have no revenue, we could still have truck traffic. We could still have residents that we have to serve. We could still have a whole host of problems and have there's no way under the current system for us to gain any revenue or across our towns to gain revenue. And then in a time lag, any revenue that you potentially get if there's production doesn't come until 3 years after we're having to spend money. So we're calling on New York State to make sure there's a system in place that addresses those things. And there's a host of ways to do that. And when we talked to New York State, went to Albany and talked to them, they said, oh, yes, we're going to look at all of that. And then we're understanding that they have started to look at it and have not let us know what it is they're looking at, and that they're not looking at new revenue sources to the localities. They're only really looking at new revenue sources at state level. So that's what this
and
is looking to address.
Isn't it also true that the ad valorem tax is calculated on the profit, and therefore if state taxes, if there's a state severance tax charge, then that comes out of the gross revenue before the tax is calculated? Is that right?
Under the current formula, you know, it's not written because there isn't a severance tax, but I would probably assume that would be the case.
So the property taxing jurisdictions effectively will be paying the state severance tax for the gas companies.
Just saying.
Carol?
I'll also add that the issues involved in the measuring and how this is all done will affect people at all levels. It affects the individual property owner when they go to get their royalty check. Some of these numbers in your royalty check will be based on these formulas and the measuring and the verification of the meters. It will affect any property tax that we would get at the local level, and it would affect the state coffers for anything that they decide to do at a state level. So there are a lot of issues with it. They should at least look in an open and transparent way.
Any other discussion? Thanks to everybody here, Carol, Jay, and your committees that have been working on this issue. Ready to vote. All in favor of the revised Resolution F, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Opposed? That's unanimous. Great. All right. Thank you very much. Anything else, Julie?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you. Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, Will Burbank, Chair.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Planning Committee met on May 2nd. I'm having this problem that I think Peter talked about, the time delay between when your committee meets and the time you report. Things begin to fade. But be that as it may, we did have a very packed meeting. We did talk about the unemployment numbers, and a very good presentation from Martha Armstrong and Julia Maddock, and I was just totally impressed that they did not take these at face value and really, really try to dig into them. We had another presentation by Michael Stamm talking about the rather perilous situation in terms of the finances of our local development corporation, TCAD, and the fact that we are, as a legislature, going to need to be addressing this one way or the other. Michael reminded us of the enormous benefit that has come to this county in terms of jobs, in terms of projects, amount of tax revenue, and many millions. And I will encourage him to come and talk to us all, because it was a very, very good presentation. But they have a problem, and we're going to have to deal with it one way or the other. And we also had another presentation by Tom Knight talking about his development, the development, excuse me, of the Strategic Tourism Board. Thank you. STPB. They're developing their new improved plan, and that is, we just got a little preview of kind of where it's going, but it will be coming out. It will be put up for public comment. They are going to be very active in terms of making it available and getting input. There are many, many great ideas, and we're going to have to choose a tiny fraction of them to move forward. So that is to come. Finally, we got to a discussion of a local law that came out of the that I learned about Finally, we got to the possibility of a local hydrilla control law that was inspired by concerns of the task force, and had been mentioned at the EMC meeting. And we started to consider a draft that had been brought to us by council. And as we started discussing, we realized that we really wanted to refer this out to the EMC and the Water Resources Board and the STPB for comment, because all of those different bodies, I think, have knowledge that could be helpful. So that will be coming back to us, and then I hope that it's going to be going to public safety, because if we're going to have any local law, we're going to have to figure out the feasibility of enforcing it, and I think that'll be a discussion that moves forward. I will be coming back to a member-filed resolution that is a law related to invasive species that's being considered at the state level, but that's later in our budget. And our next meeting is on June 6th, so please join us if you want to be part of the discussion. And that is my report. Oh, I've got a resolution.
Are there any questions on your report?
Yes.
Frank?
Thanks, Martha. Will, earlier this evening you mentioned the funding and the announcement, I think it was today, regarding the Black Diamond Trail. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that one of the concerns was, one place the money would probably go would be to build or rebuild the bridges.
Correct.
Just a reminder, a number of years ago, the county participated at quite an expense at designing those bridges. And that report, I would suspect, exists in one of three places, or perhaps in all three places, in the planning department, in the public works department, and perhaps at the in the parks department up at Tiganic, because it was quite an extensive one, and I think Sue Palforti participated in it. If there's a way to resurrect that to save a few dollars and having to do it all over again, it might be worthwhile researching.
Okay, I'll certainly ask about that, Frank. I'm pretty sure that I will look into that.
Okay, all right, resolution I.
Thank you. So the resolution I is authorizing an intermunicipal agreement between Tompkins County and Cortland County Public Transportation Service, and I so move.
Seconded by Leslin. Any questions, discussions? All in favor, please raise your hand.
Any opposed? That's unanimous.
And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Will. Broadband Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. You may remember at our last meeting that I said I would defer my report to another meeting because our last meeting had gone on so long. So I want to give you a little bit of an update tonight. Going back to the presentation that we made to the legislature in January, I just want to bring you forward a couple months by saying that subsequent to that meeting, I talked with Martha about, based on what the charge to the committee was, what we should be doing going forward, and we talked about the looking for ways to implement a project that would expand broadband into the rural parts of the county, and that clearly was spelled out in the original charge, that if there were to be any projects, that the broadband committee could then take charge of those projects. So we have, over the last 2 or 3 months here, had some very, very lively and interesting discussions in our committee with a lot of brainstorming about how we might develop a business plan that would help us to go forward, how we might create a governance structure that would allow us to do that. And as we worked our way through those discussions, I began to realize that this is an area that is totally new to me, and it was something that I needed some advice and input on. So I went in to talk to Joe about process and where we should go from this point. And on Joe's suggestion, I asked Dooley for some time on the Government Operations Committee to give a report and an update to that committee. And I plan to do this. In fact, I did mention it to Jim tonight, that I'd like to do the same thing with the Budget Committee so I can begin to bring people on the legislature up to speed on what we've been doing. At the same time, we have planned to have a meeting among Joe and Martha and Paula and myself, Jim, because there may be implications for budget. I'm going to see if Dave can come. Just to talk about these issues of process as we go forward so I can feel comfortable that what we're doing as a committee is, in fact, the direction and that fits what the county would expect for this kind of a special committee. So I just wanted to give you that sense of what we're working on right now. I also want to share with you that the survey by SRI is all set to go forward, and I expect that to be starting any day now. So for anyone out there who might be listening who lives in a rural area, if you are called by the SRI Institute and asked to participate in a broadband survey, I hope you will take a few minutes to do so, because we really will appreciate your input in helping us to figure out how we want to go ahead with this project. Also, since our regular meeting date is May 28th, and that's Memorial Day this month, we are going to meet on May 29th instead. So that meeting will be at 5:30 in the Borg Warner Room of the library. It's a public meeting, and folks are welcome to attend. Also on the 29th, I've been asked by Gary Stewart, who hosts a show on WHCU on the radio in the morning from 8:30 to 9 o'clock. He's going to interview me on May 29th, and I'm also going to take with me Mike Pliss, who's another member of our committee. And Mike has been a very active and committed member of the committee. He's attended every one of the 6 outreach meetings that we've had in the community so far. So he's well-versed in the issues that people have brought forward to us. Gary is hosting a series of interviews on WHCU around issues of equity in the county. And since lack of broadband access in rural parts of the county is seen by most of those people who lack that service as being a real issue of equity, Gary would like to talk with us about what we've been hearing from people and what the plans are for the committee at this point. So I wanted to let you know about that interview. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Pat. A lot of great work going on. Any questions? All right. Thank you very much. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Jim Davis,
Chair. Thank you, Martha. May 29th is our next meeting on Tuesday at 3:30. As Pat mentioned, she will be one of the primo people on, and some of the thing during the county administrator reports, he will be there with talking about spending targets. Also, this committee is called Budget, Capital, and Personnel, and I would like to thank all the members of both search committees that we ended up with a new highway person and a new commissioner of mental health. As I said earlier, I think, you know, we've all learned about hiring people over the last 6 years that I've been here and been involved in many committees, and I think we went through both of these operations and came out the other side with two very good people, and I just want to thank all the people on and in the county who did that and all the people on those committees, and that concludes my report.
Thank you, Jim. Any questions? Okay, next is Public Safety Committee, Peter Stein, Chair.
Yeah, I guess the two items that I would have reported at this point were reported in the legislative privilege of the floor. Our next meeting will take place at 11 o'clock in the morning, the day after our next meeting.
Thank you very much. Any questions? All right, Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie Lupien Claiborne, Chair.
WDIC will meet next Wednesday, 3:30, at the Human Services Building, Beverly State Conference Room.
All right. Thanks, Leslie. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Health Committee did meet on May 8th. We had several different reports, which I'd just like to highlight for you. First, the Public Health Director, Frank Krupa, brought us up to speed on the status of the CHA. It actually is not closed yet. All the patients have been placed, but the state still has to give us permission to return what's known as the medallion. And he's hoping that may have taken place by now, because the meeting was a week ago. Once that's done, we are officially done. We're unofficially done right now. All the patients are properly placed with either VNS or another service, and it seems to be going very well. The Lisa mentioned to us, do you remember a couple of years ago we got embroiled in the Berger Commission report about nursing home beds and the need for nursing home beds in the community? And we found that we were really entitled to something like 150 more beds. It was quite high. I think that number is a little exaggerated, but the commission is still going on, and we still have a need for a number of nursing home beds that need has not been met in the community yet. And Lisa was going to look into the status of that for us for the next meeting. Several of us and several of you were involved in letter writing. I know Martha was, in trying to encourage the state to move along and help us attain those facilities. And at the time, Cayuga Ridge, which was known as Lakeside at the time, was entitled to those beds. But this is for the Medicare community, excuse me. Frank also gave us a primer on bath salts, which is unfortunately a very serious concern in this community, more than anybody really realized. And the synthetics are doing quite a job negatively. He was quick to say that by saying stay away from the synthetics, the public health department and the DOH are not saying you should go to real marijuana or whatever, but it turns out that that's probably less of a problem than the synthetics are. But bath salts are really a serious concern in the community. I know it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it, Jim? But that was the assessment.
No comment.
Thank you. The youth services, we had an update on the independent living survey, and I wanted to give you a couple of numbers on that. The survey interviewed 225 youth ages 15 to 25 years old, and this was an update of the survey that was done a couple of years ago. It was sadly interesting to be made aware that the same concerns that were raised then are still a concern now. The major highlights were housing is still a major problem for the young people. Trying to find independent living circumstances where they're stable is a problem. Transportation, and this is something that the three of us, Pam and Kathy and I, can bring back to TCAT. There's still a problem with transportation. It's difficult to match up when people need to go to work with where the routes are. And some of these kids are having a really rough time trying to get to work. Third item was jobs and education. Of course, finding a job, the exact wording was lucrative jobs are available locally in highly skilled technological and educational sectors for those applicants with high levels of education and technical skills. A lot of the people that we're dealing with here don't fall into that category, and they're having a problem at least trying to stay independent. The last section was one that dealt with financial support, and of course, because of all of these other concerns, the financial support is a major concern also. We'll get another update on this at another meeting in the future, but I hope we don't have to wait for another round. And some of these things are the same issues that occurred the last time this survey was done. Social services, you probably read something recently put out by Patricia Carey about the Family Type Home Project. It's a project that we have going on and have had going on. This is a placement of individuals in homes, adults in homes, that are not nursing home, that are not in need of nursing home or nursing services, but they have to have an adult on site 24 hours. And Patricia is going to start promoting this. There's a couple of three meetings that are, one took place already. There's two more coming up, and I'm sorry, I don't have the exact dates of those, but we can get them for you. I think with that, I'm going to stop there. The nursing home one was really, I'm sorry, the adult home one was really interesting. Just a reminder, the annual luncheon for COFA is the 24th. You should have received an invitation to it in your boxes about a week or 10 days ago. But you should get that in if you're interested in going. The next meeting is June 12th.
Thank you very much, Frank. Any questions for Frank? You've already got your resolution done. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, we did it. Thanks, Martha.
Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Carol Chalk, Chair.
Yeah, I think I'll do the resolution first, if that's okay. So Kathy maybe can stay before she goes to vote. We thank you for those who came to our meeting at 5:15, and thank you to Pam for giving us a quorum at 5:15. So 4-0, we passed this. With two pretty minor changes to what's in your packet.
that I will tell you about. In the eighth whereas, oh, this is amending resolution 2011-218, authorizing the county to enter into a 15-year lease with Solar Liberty for solar panels placed at various county facilities. This, let's see, the eighth
is
whereas.
Is there a second?
Well, I want to tell you what I'm putting into motion. What I'm moving is this resolution with these two changes.
Okay.
So should I tell you about those?
Yeah.
Line 33, the eighth whereas, it just clarifies that our former resolution was at a cost not to exceed $10,260. Adds those words on line 33. And then in the resolved, it just clarifies that this on line 59, this is the maintenance of 50 and or 25 kilowatt solar panels. I so move.
Second by Dooley.
Basically, this just enables our staff to go ahead and talk to Liberty Solar about greater surface area and bigger kilowatt panels if that works for us.
Frank?
Thank you, Martha. Carol, a couple of questions for you. Addressing the last point you just made, line 35 begins, the whereas begins with the county wishes to explore and, if structurally and operationally feasible, proceed with the installation. That's a little more than just explore. If we pass this, we're giving permission to go ahead with it. Will the, before anyone proceeds with anything, first question, will this come back to this legislature to know what it is that they found out in the exploration phase?
Joe?
We could come back to inform. What we're asking is the authority to proceed. So if we find that it's feasible, that it's structurally okay, it means economically feasible as well, so that the savings that go along with the additional panel space would well exceed the cost. We would like to proceed with that. We can bring it back to F&I and report to F&I on what buildings we found fit. We think there are only three or four. But we would like the authority to move forward if we find that things work out.
Well, the second question is whereas the first whereas on the back of the page, line 48, says that while the cost is going to be to us pretty minimal, but we're supposed to save around $9,000 a year with this 50 kW installation. Is there going to be a provision in the lease that says if they don't hit that, we somehow save some money?
Yes, it is the same arrangement that we had when you approved the 25 megawatts. So there are assurances in there that we will achieve savings. What's happened is over the past few months, NYSERDA has gotten the authority to be able to do larger panels and still draw down those tax credits or creative financing things that make these so inexpensive for us. The basic economics of the deal will be the same. We have a very low monthly lease price, and before we go forward with the lease, we do an analysis to make sure that the savings associated with that panel exceed the cost of the lease, and there are assurances in that deal that we will hit those targets.
Good. Last question, Martha. Will the savings that, assuming there are savings, will they accrue to Arell's budget, because his budget pays for the utility costs in all of our buildings, so that we can give him some credit at budget time for the savings?
Yes. It accrues to the benefit of the taxpayers. Specifically, you will find that in Arell's utility budget. That's where the savings will be reflected.
The other option is to pass it on to the departments that are within the buildings that we're putting the panels on.
You mean the human service departments?
Yeah, like human services departments.
It will accrue to our utility. The benefit will accrue to our utility budget, which facilities handles.
They'd like to take on their own utility costs.
Pass.
Okay, are you ready to vote then on the revised resolution K? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thanks, and Kathy, go vote. You have a report?
Yeah, I do have a report.
we're busy, there isn't enough money, our staff does an incredible job, and they've been nationally recognized. I'll give you a little more detail on that. We met on May 4th. You should know there was a resolution on the consent agenda about Ellis Hollow Road, where we have the final payments on the phase of the project we've done. Note that we did not have the money to color the shoulders, even with the more temporary method. We're hoping in the future to be able to test that method either in phase two, if we do a phase two. Basically, there was a $7,000 shortfall. So we're hoping that staff would cost almost $18,000 to color, and there's all close to $11,000 left in the budget, but we're short $7,000. So staff is going to look into how we might be able to do that in the future and maybe bring something back. We spent a lot of time on Pine Tree Road. There continue to be hard decisions that we're going to have to make as a legislature about the routing of the path, the grade of the path, the cost, and the bridge design, including the width and the height. It's going to come to the committee on June 1st again. In the meantime, I asked our staff to hold an extra public meeting. That meeting, so you'll get a chance to hear in much greater detail if you'd like to come to that meeting. You're all invited. Your residents are invited. May 22nd at 7 p.m. at the Trinity Lutheran Church on Hannes Lane. That's the church on Hannes Lane. Please come, weigh in if you're a bicyclist or a hiker, weigh in if you commute in that area, and we certainly there are people who are concerned about those factors I just mentioned. Other highway items, I think we've talked here about the Groton City Road Bridge that had to close, and I can talk about that in more detail if you have questions. Staff who've been recognized. The airport. If you haven't seen that, there was an article about Bob Nicholas and the importance of the way in which he promoted the use of a green master plan that he had heard about that they were doing in Europe here, and not just here in Tompkins County, but it has been followed by other airports. He was recognized, and there was an article in, I don't remember offhand the name of the magazine, but it was an airport magazine, and it was a lovely article. There are solid waste staff. Efforts in Tompkins County are also being recognized. In this case, it's our composting efforts, Cayuga Compost's composting efforts. Mary and Jim Proctor received an EPA award for the work that they're doing with us that reduces our waste stream in collecting compost from businesses and institutional organic waste. And then we talked some about shared services, the airport. Their primary area for mutual assistance is between highways and the airport. They also would be available for any casualties. They're a location. And note that there are two conference rooms there of various sizes. So if you have meetings you need to schedule in that part of the county, don't forget about those rooms. Facilities, we talked about shared services. They also share services with our highway department and with the clerk's office. There are opportunities to expand, maybe in the way we award contracts, maybe with the city in terms of sidewalks, elevator contracts. There are some others we talked about, but those were the highlights. And then our new highway director, Jeff Smith, will be starting on June 4th. That's my report. We will meet again on June 1st at 9:45 in the morning.
Okay. Thank you, Carol. Any questions? All right. Great. We're up to member filed, and I have Resolution M, which is left. That's Will or Pam.
Okay. I'll introduce. In support of A9422-2011 and S6826-211, and an act to amend the environmental conservation law in relation to non-native animal and plant species, and this is submitted by myself and Pam. and I so move.
The revised one?
The revised version is in your packet. Thank you.
Okay, and seconded by Pam. Thank you. Any discussion?
So, can I say just a few words? So basically, the state assembly passed unanimously this resolution, which would amend the conservation law at state level and give them a tool to control non-native species. My understanding is that it's currently in the Senate. It is being co-sponsored by Senator O'Meara. That's under the third reading. I don't know whether it's on the governor's list of preferred bills. I was not able to find that out. But this basically says, yes, any new tool that you can be given that will help, we recognize is important.
Any questions? Discussion? Dooley.
I won't vote against this, but I don't think it's a particularly good bill, and I'm afraid it may mean that there won't be any impetus to do what really needs doing. So it's a mixed bag for
Jim?
Name one non-native animal.
Kangaroo.
that we're against? We're against pigeons and kangaroos?
We're against.
But what are we trying to eliminate here?
There are some. What are they? They're crawfish or shrimp that are now coming in the area. There's hydrilla. There's a whole, you know.
Lamprey. I was only going animal. I was not going. But you know, that's all.
It's a reasonable question.
Cause it a ruckus. I just wanted to hear.
Testius, right? Yeah.
Although David would like the crawfish to come in, okay. Pat?
I think the ash borer.
There you go.
Okay.
How are you going to ban that one, Pat?
Cut down all the trees.
Just going to say you're not welcome here.
Sorry.
All right. Are we ready to vote on revised resolution M? All in favor?
Aye. Dooley,
and
what? Raise your hand.
Time to vote. Any opposed? All right, that's unanimous.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you very much for bringing that here and for providing the text through email, Will. Minutes of May 1st, 2002. Moved and seconded by Pat. Any comments? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That is 13, however many of us. 12 to 1. They pass. All right. Motion to adjourn. All in favor? Thank you. Good night.
9 o'clock.
Thanks for your meeting. 9 o'clock.